So anyway, Dinacharya, here's the thing. I want to talk a little bit about my experience with daily routine and why it's powerful. And so this is going to sound a little unrelated at first, but it affects the prakriti, it affects the constitution of a person. In Ayurveda, we talk about different types of prakriti, deha prakriti, dosha prakriti, and janma prakriti. Janma prakriti being the prakriti that was, this is, by the way, not all traditions in Ayurveda and not all lineages look at this way, but Dr. Laud looks at this way. And so I'm gonna talk about this for just a minute. So in the tradition that Dr. Vasant Laud in New Mexico, a wonderful, powerful teacher that we all respect, I'm sure, and know, he talks about janma prakriti, deha prakriti, and dosha prakriti. And I'm going to try to paraphrase what he teaches and present that a little bit. But janma prakriti is the prakriti that was established at conception. So your parents came together, there was the egg, there was the sperm, there was the DNA from both, there was a joining and an arranging that happened at that moment that determines what your hair color is going to be and how tall you're going to be and what your facial structure is going to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these, and what your eye color is going to be, these permanent characteristics. And then there's deha prakriti, which, and this is a little of how Dr. Laud teaches it and also a little of my own experience. He talks about deha prakriti being established by the time of birth. I would suggest that it may be a little like by early childhood. It's basically the further back we go, the more impressionable we were. So in a stupid way of saying this, but effective, is at that moment of conception, if you were to take your thumb and put your thumb on the egg and the sperm and the zygote that it formed, you could squash it, and that would be that. And the impression you would have made by a very little amount of pressure by your thumb would wipe it out. Whereas when you're 5 years old, if you put that pressure on the organism of a child, you're not going to wipe it out, and that impression isn't going to do very much. So it's kind of a silly way of saying it, but those early days in pregnancy and those weeks and months in pregnancy, when we do things like encounter stress, have stress ourselves, smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, be exposed to pollutants, environmental pollutants, things like that, those little things or those big things have a tremendous, much more of an impact at that point than they do later in the development of a child. So deha prakriti takes into consideration that time between conception and maturation of the constitution into really what it's going to be for its life. And it takes into account all of those impressions, those strong impressions that have made such an impression on that organism that it's almost like genetic. It's almost like part and parcel of what that janma prakriti was. It's almost back to that DNA moment where the egg met the sperm. It's almost that indelible. It's almost that permanent. And by the time that period of really highly impressionable, organism is over, at that point, we call it dosha prakriti, and that's the prakriti, the kind of constitution that many students of Ayurveda go around saying, what's your constitution, what's your prakriti, et cetera, et cetera. What they're saying is, what is your dosha prakriti? What is your predominant dosha? What is your secondary dosha? And so forth. And quite frankly, what your predominant dosha is, and this is not going to be a class about doshas. So if you're joining in on this class and you're not sure what doshas are, don't worry. Just kind of follow the general gist of this. We're not going to be talking about vata, pitta, and kapha and doshas too much during this course. But they're different, basically, they're different constitutional forces. And students of Ayurveda like to say, oh, I'm predominantly this force and secondarily that force, and least of all, this third force, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. So we have, when we're talking about that as throughout our lives, the fact of the matter is those numbers, those basic constitutional forces don't usually change from janma prakriti to dosha prakriti. Those basic tendencies don't necessarily change from, in other words, the moment of conception through maturation of the final blueprint of the organism, maybe say somewhere around somewhere in early childhood. But what does change, so whether you're vata predominant, pitta secondary, kapha third in your janma prakriti, that's not likely to change. But what is likely to change are proclivities, or what is likely to get reinforced are negative or positive proclivities from the moment of conception to the moment of maturation. And it's not really a moment of maturation, it's more the organs get more and more mature as a child ages, the patterns in the brain get more and more mature. Somewhere around puberty, those patterns in the brain get really solidified. So you could say almost that this morphing business with our really lifelong proclivities can go right up to puberty. So you can almost say, you know, there's janma prakriti at the moment of conception right through to puberty. We are much more impressionable than we are later. And the earlier in that time period, the more impressionable we are. And believe me, this will come around to Dinacharya daily routine soon. So we've got this really impressionable time. And in that period of time, it's like wet cement. And any impression you put in it is solid and it stays there. It's solid and it stays there, but it also can go away easily. You can also go and say, oh, I don't want that impression there, move that away and make a new impression. Somewhere around puberty, that cement hardens. Those impressions are more permanent, and it takes a jackhammer at this point to go in and wipe out an impression and another jackhammer or the same jackhammer to go in and make a new impression. It is not easy. But it is possible, and we may talk about that too. But that early, really, really malleable time where our blueprint of proclivities and anxieties and strength and organ tendencies are really formed, especially in utero and very early childhood, to some extent through puberty, but especially the earlier you go back, the more powerful impressions are, even from very, very minor input. So if it's major input, there's a major impression there. I expect you all follow that, but if you don't, there will be a point towards the end of the class today for you to be able to have questions and call in questions. So if you've got a question, write it down. The last 15 minutes of class will have questions to clarify things here. So the take-home message from that little blurb, right, is that pregnancy, early childhood, we're very impressionable to impressions, to experiences, to events, and they tend to set the tone for our lives, and they also tend to set kavaigunyas, which is a word that's really useful to know and will be on your vocabulary list. Kavaigunya, defective space, challenged area. And for example, if we in utero are exposed to some kind of chemical that is processed by the liver, then perhaps the liver gets a little strained, and that may be no big deal if you're 17, if you're 20, if you're 37, but it's a big deal in utero, and it may lead to problems with liver function later in your life. Or if you were told in early childhood that you were an idiot or or you met with disapproval, or you were hurt in some way, emotionally or physically, it might lead to a defective space, a challenge area in a particular organ, or sometimes more importantly, or certainly at least as important, or it can lead to a pattern of thinking that is so ingrained that it's really difficult to get rid of. How can we know whether something we have right now, a problem we have, either a mental proclivity towards worry or fear, a lifetime of anxiety, a tendency towards judgment, or menstrual problems, if you're a woman, menstrual problems as long as you can remember. How can we know if these are caused by those early experiences, those early influences, or if they're caused by something we're doing today or something we've done this year or something more recent? This is a question that when I was in a busy private practice for a number of years, I would see people come in who had exactly that kind of issue, where in Ayurveda, we're, and Eastern medicine in general, Chinese medicine as well, we often want to look for the root cause of something. Okay, you've got a hormone imbalance. What's the root cause? Where is this coming from? Okay, you've got heavy periods and they've always been irregular. Where is this coming from? And we try to trace it back, and often we can trace it back to a certain lifestyle pattern over time, or a certain experience, or a certain event. But sometimes we can't. Sometimes it just goes back as far as the patient can remember. And if any of us on this call, or listening to this course, or alive and breathing and considering this question, can see, if we look in ourselves, most of us have a physical issue or a mental tendency that we have had as long as we can remember. And we may be well aware of it and still not be able to change it. And when we see this personally, then we have a lot more compassion for our patients and our yoga students and our clients and our brothers and our sisters and our mothers, and, you know, the insanity that comes out of the world, because people's little tiny insanities are often little tiny insanities that they're well aware of, but they can't change. They have tried, but it's just so ingrained